Our scripture passage this morning is Luke 12:22-34, and I think it's probably a pretty familiar passage for many of us. I found that I was reading and preparing this week, and because it was familiar, there's this thing that happens, I think, when you're reading familiar scripture that you just kind of are like skipping ahead to like, I know what the next part is, and you miss some of the meaning. So I thought that, one way I try to stop myself from doing that is I have a dual translation Bible that has the Message and NIV next to each other, so I'll try to read it in a different translation. And so I'm going to read this passage in the Message, but it also will kind of be like, you have a dual translation Bible because you'll read the NRSV on the screen. So try to feel like you're hearing this for the first time. Jesus continued this subject with his disciples. Don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or if clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your inner life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree in the care of God, and you count far more. Has anyone, by fussing before the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? If fussing can't even do that, why fuss at all? Walk into the fields and look at the wildflowers or the beautiful leaves. They don't fuss with their appearance. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find that your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Be generous. Give to the poor. Get yourselves a bank that can't go bankrupt, a bank in heaven, far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers, a bank you can count on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Blessings, Pastor Steve, as you share.
Well, this is the last Sunday in our series from 1 Timothy about training for godliness. And I actually want to, with Luke 12 fresh in your minds, I want to read a couple verses from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10 and 17 to 19. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the truth, from the faith, and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then going down to verse 17. Command those, Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So as we look into this particular passage and think about training for godliness, just a quick review again where we've been. The first week from 1 Timothy 1, we looked at how the goal of our training in godliness is love, to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Second week, our approach is spiritually is similar to how we approach training physically, that we reorient our lives around this training, where our life in God becomes all-encompassing. Every part of our life feeds into this training and this growing in our knowledge of God. Last week, we looked at how, from chapter 3, as Paul was especially speaking towards the characteristics of leaders, but he's really saying those who have proven themselves to be godly and thus are ready to be leaders, what came out pretty prominently is they are to be serious and sober-minded. And we looked at how that means having a clear mind, clearing up our minds about the things of God, of having a weight or a gravity to our life that doesn't fly off into pursuing empty things or flying off into violence or contentiousness with others or greed or lust or all the things that keep us from being grounded in Christ. And also to have a urgency and a vigilance to our lives. So this week we want to look at this idea of our training towards godliness leads us to a sense of contentment. And that's what Paul really addresses here. And I'm going to read my theme statement or my purpose statement for this particular sermon so that in case my voice doesn't hold out, you know what it was all about. Okay. And it'll give us a good overview. As we train for godliness, we throw off the desire for money and for earthly treasures and we find contentment. And therefore we are freed to be rich towards God and to be rich towards others in generosity and good deeds. So that's what we're all about this morning. In verse 6 here of 1 Timothy 6, Paul writes, "Of course, there is great gain in godliness that is combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content in these things." So as we're growing in our life of faith and godliness, in our pursuit of God, what needs to happen before we get to that place of contentment is that we need to overcome these desires to become rich in the things of this world. We can think beyond money, but anything that this world offers us that in a temporary way would be something that we would seek after. Like Jesus said, you can gain the whole world, all that this world offers, but in doing so, you forfeit your soul. And if you look here in these early passages, verses 6 to 10, Paul kind of gives this flow of how this works, like how we fall into this temptation and this desire for the treasures of this world. He talks about temptation. Do I have a slide of this? No. But a temptation that leads towards being trapped by many senseless and harmful desires, or we get snared in these things. We become trapped in these pursuits, in this craving. And finally, it plunges people into ruin and destruction. And pretty much that's how scripture throughout really describes how we fall into sin and fall away from God in general. First, we're tempted, or it feels like we're making a choice towards something that leads us away from God. And then that thing turns around and like holds us in its grip. And we can't seem to find our own way out of that. And eventually it leads to our ruin or our destruction or our spiritual death. So that's how Paul's describing it here. And I want to give from a commentary, this is how one person described what it might look like on the ground for a particular person. Talking about people who crave only more money and more success in life. Their desire is to build up their business or advance up the promotional ladder. And these things have taken control of their whole lives. And just to make a note, just having a goal of building our business, for example, doesn't mean that we've fallen into this desire, but we need to ask ourselves, what's the motivation? Why am I trying to build this business? Is it to provide good service, to take care of my employees, or is it all about my name or my riches or my fame? Like, what's behind this desire for advancement? They become obsessed with their love of wealth. They build more and more and larger possession in order to impress their friends and make themselves feel as if they are successful and have arrived. Just one way to describe what it could look like. Jesus talks about this man who his fields did very well. And he thought to himself, what should I do with this abundant harvest? I have no more place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then what will you get from what you have prepared for yourself? And then Jesus' final statement there is, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. And I guess that's the choice I want us to come to. What are our heart's desires? What are we treasuring after? Storing up things for ourselves or storing up a name for ourselves, whatever it might be, or being rich towards God. It made me think of an example in for April and I right now. You know, a common conversation with us is our search for a house. And I don't bring this up to like, woe is me, we can't find a house. But, it just makes a good example of what we're talking about here. Cause I don't want us to just think about, oh, those people who are running after riches in this world. That's not really what I'm all about. But, all of us in some way are faced with this. So when we're searching for a house, the underlying question for us is, how can we be content while we're searching? And maybe all of you have been in a similar kind of place. Can we believe that do we remember that God has always taken care of our needs? From the time that April and I were born, we never had to worry about where we were going to live. It was always provided for us. And even in this temporary time, it's being provided for us. Can we continue to trust in that, or will we be striving or craving or running after things? For example, having a lot of worry and anxiety, like Jesus talked about in the scripture. Having that anxiety take over our lives. When are we going to find a house? You know? Or thinking, as we're looking at houses, what are other people going to think if we buy this house? You know, like, what will that look like? What will that say about us if we live here? Or what do we need to live comfortably? You know, and pursue something that really overextends us and is more than we need or can afford, but just that drive for more when it comes to housing. Or just even being consumed by the process. Like, all of our thoughts go into this process and figuring out the possibilities that distracts us from other things in life, the things of God that he's called us to. So how can we, in this particular circumstance, give appropriate attention to it, to be clear-minded, as we talked about last week, mixed with having faith that God will provide? You know? So that's an example that of how we could apply this teaching And not just think it's all about those people who are all about riches and fame. You know, we're all faced with this. What are we striving after in our lives? This desire for riches, and this worry about our things creates this entanglement, you know, that trips us up in life. And one of the teachings that I quote most often in preaching actually comes from a children's song. Back in the 90s when our kids were growing up, there was VeggieTales, but there was also Jungle Jam and Friends. Does that sound familiar to anybody? We used to love that on car rides. But when they were talking about this subject, when the stories were all about this desire for more, I think it was marbles that the animals were going after. But they sang this song, the more you have, the more you have to take care of the things you have. And, that just makes a lot of sense to me, even biblically, the more we seek after and the more we accumulate, the more it takes our attention to care for that and you know, and to build on that, the more we have, the more we have to take care of these things that we have. And that becomes all consuming instead of, again, being rich towards God. So, and even to the point where when Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil, we can even get to the place where it's so important to us that it begins to corrupt us, you know, where we begin to compromise our values because we're pursuing these things, you know. But yet this scripture gives us an opportunity for freedom from that. And it might not sound like freedom to not be pursuing all the treasures of this world. But I just want to call us back to our theme for the year, which I've gotten away from a little bit, but freedom in Christ, we have freedom from things so that we can be freed for things. So freedom in Christ is all about finding release from the grip of these forces that restrain us from what is the true and abundant life that God created for us. In this case, the force that's gripping us is this desire for the treasures of this world that keep us from the true life that God has for us. And what freedom looks like here is to find contentment in life. This state of trust in God's provision and God's providence, and a sense that this is enough, that I am well cared for. And that leads to other things that we'll get into. But I'm reading, I happen to be reading through Ecclesiastes right now. And, in these passages, the writer there, is saying he's pretty cynical about striving and toiling after the stuff of this world. You know, we're just going to have to turn it over to somebody else someday when we pass away. But in chapter 3, right after, there's a season for everything, a time for this, a time for that. Right after that, it's written, what do people really get for all their hard work? I've seen the burden God has placed on all of us. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people can't see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded that there's nothing better than to be happy and to enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And I hear the message here being, enjoy what God has given to you. Be thankful. Be content today with what he's given you in your life. He goes on to say, like, God is the eternal one, and we can't understand all the ways of God from beginning to end. But yet, as followers of Jesus, we've been led in enough to know the mysteries of the gospel, to know the kingdom of God's breaking forth, you know. And we might not know all about that, but we know we have a part in it. And we can trust even today, God's going to show me and lead me in my part in how his kingdom's breaking through. But I can't do that if I'm still tangled up in my pursuits of all the treasures of today. You know, the temporal stuff that's not going to last. So, we find freedom in our contentment to enjoy what God's given us. And not just as Jesus talked about, just say, I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. You know, but rather to be thankful for what we have. And even to pursue the specifics of how God is inviting us into his kingdom work. And so we're freed up in this contentment. We're freed up to become rich in the things of God. That's where our freedom leads us. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 14, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's more than just this. The stuff that we might strive after for the day to day. But it's of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's something richer that we can pursue in this life, that we're freed up to pursue when we let go of these other pursuits. And we can be rich in generosity and rich in good deeds. So Jesus in Luke 12 gets to the point after he helps the listeners not to be worried about all this stuff and striving after all the stuff that the pagan world strives after. But he says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Celebrate that you are part of the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. And we can do that now because we don't have such a tight grip on our stuff. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So it becomes pretty clear it's impossible both to pursue all the treasures of this earthly stuff and hold on to that, but then also to pursue and hold on to the treasures of God and to be rich in generosity with all that stuff. We have to make a choice. And Jesus often gave that choice. You can't love God and money or anything we might strive after for our own purposes. You know, we can't love and pursue and hold on doggedly to that stuff and yet still be generous. I saw this quote coming out of an InterVarsity lesson that said, generosity requires trust, not money. The first thing we think about in being generous isn't what all do I have to give away, but do I trust God with my life? And in that sense of place of trust and contentment, can I let go of these things to bless others and to bless God? No one can live generously without trusting the Lord and finding that place of contentment. So, as we go from here, may the Holy Spirit, open our eyes to the stuff that we're really pursuing that's just entangled us and kept us from pursuing the riches of God, whatever that might be for each one of us. And as we find that place of contentment and even joy in the Lord and trust in the Lord, may we be freed up to be just rich in our good deeds for God and generous towards others. So let's pray together. God, thanks so much for your generous provision, not in all the treasures of this world, but you do give us enough from day to day, and you give us more than enough of your love and of your joy and of your peace. You let us in on the things of the kingdom that are breaking forth and that we can be a part of. And so free us from those things that entangle us and entrap us and keep us from knowing you and being rich towards you. And give us the heart of Christ Jesus to be generous with all things in our lives. It's in his name we pray. Amen.